And today is the fifth day of the month of November, 7th of Cheshvan. This is the women's Chumash class. We're in the middle of Parshat Ki Tavot, Dvarim, Perek of Zion.
Okay, Rabotai. Lamalarin? Rabotai? Lamalarin, the Torah of Doisha. Okay, we're in? Okay. Double tie. You need your chumash, which can flip back and forth between Vayikra and Kitavo, Bechukotai and Kitavo, as well as the sheet, the Ramban, that we're plowing through to give us the introduction of the Ramban's perspective in terms of the differences between the Tochecha in Vayikra, in the end of Vayikra, and the Tochecha in Ki Tavot. So just to summarize thus far, the Ramban is of the opinion that the Tochechot are not simply the way they understood, the way a normal reader reads them. They appear to be reading as situations which may or may not unfold. If you go ahead and follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu's commandments, all of the blessings will be bestowed upon you. If you choose to deviate from that path, all of the klalot will confront you. The Ramban says that this is not simply cause and effect, but rather a glimpse, a vision of prophecy as to what has happened to Am Yisrael thus far. Namely, the entire description of the galut of the Tochecha in Parshat Bechukotai refers to the first Exodus, and the Ramban, we check Sukkim, which focused on the Ramban's thesis. Number one, he pointed out, there was specific Averot mentioned. Number one Averot was mentioned was that you engaged in a transgression in which you left HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hey, Ferit Briti, you destroyed my covenant. And that is symbolized by Avodah Zarah. And unfortunately, life during first Beit HaMikdash and pre-Beit HaMikdash was characterized by people engaging in pagan idolatry behavior, no doubt about it. In fact, there were many people who did not want to reveal their identity as being an idolater, and they lived double lives. Double lives. And we are privileged to this by information communicated to us in one of the keynotes that that Yeshayahu writes, Asher kamu acharei hadelet lizdor. There were people who did the who engaged in Avodah Zarah behind the door. And Hamelech Yoshiyahu is held to task based on the fact that he cleaned up the streets during his reign, but Asher kamu acharei hadelet lizdor. They engaged in their idolatrous rituals behind the door. So it was a forerunner to the maskilin. Heye Adam b'tzei techa v'yehudi v'ohalecha. But the reverse. Be a Yehudi in the street, but inside, in your house, you can be an idolater. And Yoshiyahu is taken to task by the Paitan on based on Sukkim in Tanakh. So this was no doubt about it. Plus, there is no reference to the fact in Parshat Bechukotai, the Ramban mentioned this, of any sense of ultimate redemption of the people, and he showed the psukim which indicated that the exile is going to be a rather localized one. It's only to a neighboring country, which Babel is, and now the Ramban is going to develop his support by looking at Psukim, which will convince him, and ultimately us, that the Tochecha, which we're going to read in this parshan, Ki Tavo, is definitely referring to Bayit Sheni. So this is where we're up to. So please have the Ramban. It's the first page, Resh Pei Gimel, should be set on the top. Resh Pei Gimel. And we are going to pick it up on the bottom of the first column, six lines from the bottom. There's a little number 59, right before the word Aval. This is where we left off. Aval, says the Ramban. Now I'm going to paint the opposite picture. Habarit shebemishne Torah, yirmoz legalutenu zeh. The description in Kitavo will refer to our exile. Yirmoz legeula shinigal mimenu, and to the redemption which we are still awaiting. And the Ramban will show the psukim, which will demonstrate that the redemption will be an all-inclusive one, an incredible turn of events, that which we have never yet experienced. Ki histakalu tchila shelo nirmos shom keitz v'ketzev v'lo hiftiach b'geula raktalu oto b'tshuva. There is no definitive end in our parsha. No definitive conclusion in parshat Kitavo. Nothing. It's going to say, when will this thing end? When Am Yisrael engage in tshuva. That's all it says. And I'll show you the psukim in a minute. V'lo hizkir ba'averot ha'hein shi'ya'asu asherim v'chamonim v'shi'yavdu avodah zarah klal. There will not be one reference in our parsha to any specific transgression, and certainly nothing about idolatry. Aval amar, what does it say? V'haya im tishma b'kol Hashem elokecha lishmar la'asot et kol mitzvotav v'chukotav. Amar, ki mitnei shi'ya'avru al tzat mitzvotav shelo yishmeru v'yeyanshu et kulan v'ya'asu et kulan v'yeyanshu shikacha v'bayacheni. So please look, I'll just show you the pasuk. Look at pasuk tetvav. Pasuk tetvav. V'hayayim lo tishma b'kol Hashem alokecha lishmor la'asot et kol mitzvotav v'chukav shenotzim esavarek uvo alecha haklalot ela v'yisigucha. So as opposed, this is Dvarim Chavchet, Pasuk Tetvav. Dvarim Chavchet, Pasuk Chavav. Pasuk Tetvav. As opposed to the Psukim which we looked at last week, where, please, I want you to see the parallel. Open up at the same time to Vayikra 26:14. The openings look pretty much identical, right? Im lo tishma'u li, v'haya im lo tishma'u v'kol Hashem elokecha, it's pretty much the same. The difference was that in Pasuk Tetvav, it says, levilti asot v'kom lehafrichem et biriti, to destroy my covenant. That's which the Ramban understood was Avodah Zarah. Because when you engage in Avodah Zarah, no matter what else you observe, you've destroyed the covenant. You've rejected God. That phrase does not appear here. Does not appear here. It goes right away, in next pasuk is Tetzayin, goes right away to the curses. Aru atava ir, v'aru atava sadeh. Right away. So the Ramban theorizes that it's not because Am Yisrael engaged in that very defining transgression called Avodah Zarah. And he writes, Shikrach Haya B'Bayit Sheni. We know for a fact that during Bayit Sheni, nobody worshipped idols. Nobody. And he quotes the Gemara, Kimo She'amru, Shebayit Rishon Mitnei Macharev, top of the second, third line of the left-hand column, Mitnei Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arot Ushvichu Tamim. Bayit Sheni, She'anu Biki'im Bahem. during Bayit, where we are aware, we are experts of Tkufat Bayit Sheni. Shahayu oskin batova ubigimilut chasadim bitnei macharev. Why was the Beit HaMikdash destroyed? Mitnei sinat chinam shahaita beinehem. Velo hizkir sham hamikdash v'reyach hanichoach ka'asher hizkir kan. Please, look at, go now to again, I showed you this pasuk last week, where it says, velo ariach v'reyach nichochachem. Where is that pasuk? That's in, where is that? That was in the Chukotai. Where's that phrase? Yeah, pasuk in the Chukotai, pasuk lamed aleph. Pasuk lamed aleph in the Chukotai, Vayikra chapter 26 lamed aleph. V'natati et arechem charba v'ashimosi mikdishechem. Velo ariach bereach nichochachem. That does not appear in Vayit Sheni. It does not appear in Parshat Ki Tavoh. Says the Ramban, I'm going to tell you why. Why? Shelo haita ha'esh yoredet v'ochelet hakorbanot v'Vayit Sheni kumo shehi'idu b'masechet Yuma Sham. Number one. You know why it doesn't say that I will not come and smack Ariach? I will not come and smack your korbanot? Because God had already distanced himself from the korbanot throughout the second Beit HaMikdash. How do I know that? Says the Ramban. Because there is no evidence that a fire from heaven came to kindle the Mizbeach. Whereas during the first Beit HaMikdash, we have textual evidence that a fire came down from heaven, as it occurs in the Chumash and the Mishkan as well, to kindle the Mizbeach. And that indicates already a certain hafrada, a certain separation between God and Am Yisrael, even during Bayit Sheni. And the Ramban's going to repeat this at the end of his remarks. There are going to be five substantial differences between Bayit Rishon and Bayit Sheni, which demonstrate that although there is a Beit HaMikdash, God is not felt as perceptibly, as keenly as he was during Bayit Rishon. And I have a little theory as to why, but that's a fact. And therefore, since that phrase does not appear in Ki Tavoh, V'lo ariach bereach nichochachem. Why speculates the Ramban is the phrase not here? Because throughout the second Beit HaMikdash, God was not, quote unquote, shmecking the korbanot. He was already at a little distance. He's already somewhat a distance away from the korbanot. That's argument number, yes.
How did they know their korban was accepted?
They didn't know.
They did not
exactly know. That's correct. Correct. They didn't know 100%. That's correct. It's a good question. The Amar. Biklalot. Now the Ramban is telling us to look at another pasuk, Labriyut. To look at another pasuk, which he will now convince us. Where it says, he now says, and it says, next line in line 5, 6, 7, the Amar, after the number 63, Biklalot, Yisa Hashem Alecha, Goy Meirachok Mikseh Haaretz Kashe Yireh Hanasher. Look at Pasuk, it's Pasuk, he tells you what Pasuk it is, Memtet. Look at Pasuk Memtet. In Ki Tavoh. Perek Chavchet, Pasuk Memtet. Yisah Hashem Alecha Goy Meirachok. Good. Where was the first Galut? Who was the conquering enemy?
Babel. Babel is not Rachok. Babel is right next to Eretz Yisrael. It's Iraq.
There was constant traffic flow between Babel and Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara talks about it non-stop. Tanoim Amorayim went from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, back and forth. And there was dialogue between Chachmei Yerushalmi and Chachmei Bavli. We know that. Rome is Eretz Rachok. Eretz Rachok? That's another pasuk that he refers to. Shiba'u Alehem Am Romi HaRechokim Mehem Me'od. The Amar Sham, and it says there as well, El Goy Asher Lo Yadata. Please look at Pasuk Lamed Vav. Ramban tells us to look at Lamed Vav, so let's look at Lamed Vav. Yoleich Hashem Otcha Ve'et Malkecha Asher Takim Alecha El Goy Asher Lo Yadata Atava Avotecha. A nation that you don't know. Not familiar with its culture. Not familiar with its language. And that's absolutely nonsense during Bayit Shem. Why? Because we knew very well what the culture of what? Of Bavel was. In fact, there are many people in Eretz Yisrael who spoke Bavli, Aramaic, which was the language in Bavel. Many of our tefillot were designed and written in Aramaic because many of the people spoke Aramaic. So this pasuk here can't refer to Bayit Rishon. It cannot. Continues. Goya shelo tishma lishono. Mipnei rov richukam meyartzenu. Velo kein bedivrei habrit hazot. That's not true in Bayit Rishon. Ki galu lebavel. The Ashur shehen krovim laaretz v'nilchamim bahim tamid. There were constant wars, battles between the Judean community and the Babylonian community and the emperors. The Persian Empire was constantly doing battle in this particular part of the world. The Yichus Yisrael Misham Haya, plenty of very well-known Jew boys, Yichus, you know, well-known Jew, came from where? Came from Babel. V'yodim lishonam, they knew very well Aramaic. Shine emar, as it is written in Melachim Bet. Daberna el avadecha aramit kishomim anachno. Please speak Aramaic and not Hebrew, because we understand it. V'chein, so too. V'hefitzcha Hashem b'chol ha'amim mikitzei ha'aretz ad kitzei ha'aretz. God will spread us from one end of the world to the end of the world. That pasuk is not in Kitavo, but it's in Nitzavim, the next parsha, which is the end of the Tochecha. I'm going to show that to you a little later. That's true during Bayit Rishon. Not just during Bayit Sheni. The Galut was not only to who knows where, but there are Jews that are far flung to the four corners of the world. That took place now. Hu galutenu hayom she'anu mefuzarim misof ha'olam ad sofo. The Omar, another pasuk that is written in our parsha, Beheshivcha Hashem Mitzrayim ba'aniyot. You will be returned in boats to Egypt. It's written in our parsha, pasuk samachet. Ubegalutenu ze hayah shemilei Titus mehem sfinot. Titus filled ships and sent us to Egypt. V'chein katuv b'sefer haromiyim. And so too it's been written in Josephus, which he calls Sefer Haromiyim. V'chein ma she'omer sham, banecha u'binotecha nitunim la'aram acher ve'einecha ro'ot. Look at Pasuk Lamed Bet. Pasuk Lamed Bet. Bonecha ubinotecha nitunim la'amacher ve'einecha ro'ot. And Josephus describes, and he's referenced to this, that one of the early stages of the exile, they did not exile the parents. They took their children as slaves back to them, to Rome with them. And that's recorded by Josephus. That early on, it was not the parents were allowed to remain in Judea. Children were taken back to Rome from them. V'chalot aretz v'ein lo'el yadecha. And you have no power to what? To prevent it. You have no power to prevent it. Let's keep going. Banim, and he quotes the next pasuk in Mem Aleph. Banim u'banot tolid v'lo yiyu lecha ki yelchu bashevi. You'll give birth to children, but you're not going to have your children because your children will be taken captive. Einenu hagalut shegalu avot u'banim. This is not referring to a time period when parents and children were exiled. Rak hashevi ahu libanim levadam seha'aretz nisharim ba'aretz. V'lo nemar kein begrit harishon. But there is no such reference in Parshat Bechukotai that who is going to be the focus of the exile? Banecha uva. Your children are going to be. Because what happened with Babel was everybody was sent to Babel at one time. Everybody, b'nei shegalu galut shlema. Aval berit hasheni, hizkir shehayu haromiyim moshlim ba'artzenu, v'lokim habanim v'habanot kirtzonam. V'chein. Look at pasuk memchet now. Look at memchet. What does memchet say? Memchet. V'avadata et oivecha, asher yishalchen o Hashem b'bach, b'bach, v'ra'av v'tzam u'beron b'chosim kol. So what does he now say? He avduteinu v'avadat oivecha she'ashem b'rach b'ram tzama. He avduteinu she'avadnu haromiyim be'artzeinu. V'sarehem moshlim ba'aretz u'machbidim aleinu ol kaved. V'lokhim gufeinu u'momeinu kashahu yadua b'sfarim. So this refers to the fact that we worked, and where did we work initially? In Israel. Because the exile did not take place immediately. There were, after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, of the second Beit HaMikdash, in 70, we were not dispersed from Judea, from Israel immediately. There was a very strong Jewish population for a long time. For a long time. So wherein lie the galut, the fact that our children were taken, and that we were coerced to work for them in Eretz Yisrael? The old raya. Now the Ramban's going to say something very powerful. She'omar, it says, look at Pasuk Lamed Vav. Lamed Vav. Yoleich Hashem otcha ve'et malkicha asher takim alecha. Asher lo yadata atava avot el goy asher lo yadata domasecha. Who is this referring to? Says the Ramban. Ki halach agripas hamelech sof bayicheni lirumi va'al halichato sham nechrav habayit v'lo amar hakatuv hamelech asher yimloch alecha elo amar malkicha asher takim. Remez lanu yitbarach shelo haya ra'ui limloch ve'asar asur haya liyot melech al Yisrael midin Torah. Aval hekimu alayim hu va'avotav shelo kadat shkimo shehuzkar zeh b'masechet sota. Here the Ramban refers to two very important ideas. One of the Judean kings was Agrippas. Agrippas was Herod's grandson, I believe. Grandson. And he was not worthy, according to the Gemara, to be elevated to king because he had gotten into enormous financial trouble and he had to work as a slave to redeem himself to get out of his debts. And it is inappropriate that somebody who was at one time a slave should ascend to the kingdom. So this was not a melech asher yimloch aleinu who was appointed by us, but what happens? He was saddled upon. Asher yakim alecha, that was placed upon us. This was not an ideal setting. That's reference number one. When did the Chashmonaim live, Rabotai?
In the second temple.
Second temple, correct. Please open up to Bereshit chapter 49 for 1 second. I'm a little surprised that the Rabban himself did not make reference to this. But it fits in perfectly with what he's just saying. Bereshit, Memtet. Parshat Vayichi. The bracha of Yaakov to his children. Mem Tet, it is Pasuk Yud. It's in the middle of the bracha given to Yehuda. Very famous Pasuk. Lo Yatsur Shevet Mi Yehuda Umichokek Mi Bein Radlav. The seat of authority of kingdom shall not be stripped from Yehuda. Yehuda shall be the king forever. That is once they have ascended to the kingdom. Shaul, as you well know, was from Binyamin. But this, it did not violate this because Yehuda had not yet become the Melech. But once Yehuda becomes the Melech, there is a prohibition against any other tribe assuming the mantle of kingdom of leadership. What did the Chashmonaim do?
They took away the Yehuda.
Correct. The Chashmonaim, who were Levi'im, Kohanim, decided to assume the mantle of leadership. And here we engage in a fierce battle between the Rambam and the Rambam. The Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchot Chanukah, goes out of his way to defend the Chashmonaim for violating this particular prohibition. And he believes that in their assessment, had they not assumed the mantle of leadership of Kihuna plus Malchut, the victory over the Hellenists would never have taken place. We would never have succeeded. And ultimately, Am Yisrael would have been destroyed. So he praises them, heaps lavish praise upon them, knowing full well that they're wrong, but in this case, it's what's called a la'asot la'shem, a feru tarotel. If there is something that you have to do to preserve God's Torah, you can destroy his Torah. A la'asot la'shem, it's a pasuk in Tehillim, a feru toratecha. You can destroy his laws to promote the future of Amish. It's not something that you and me have a right to tamper with. But it's up to the leadership. However, if you will have nothing to do tonight, last night it was boring, it was not on with the election. But if you'll be bored tonight, and you'll open up the Ramban on this Pasuk in Bereshit Memtet, you will see the Ramban's scathing attack against the Chashmonaim. They had no right to usurp Shevet Yehuda, and he is highly critical of Chashmonaim kingdom during Bayit Sheni of assuming the mantle of leadership. And the Ramban and the Rav explained it beautifully. You can never have all power concentrated in one hand. There are no checks and balances. If you have spiritual leadership and government leadership separated, so then the spiritual leaders, the Kohanim, who replaced the Nevi'im during Bayit Sheni, can serve as the religious moral conscience of the what? Of the government. And can criticize, you're acting inappropriately. But if the kingdom and the religious leadership are one and the same, what is there to stop them from engaging in an activity which is anti-Jewish, which does not have moral Jewish overtones associated with it? Just because you're a melech doesn't mean you can do whatever you darn please. So the Ramban is very upset, and therefore he writes, Yolech Hashem HaKavetma Asher Takim Alecha Ana. This was saddled upon you, but inappropriately. He mentions Agrippa And I'm just a little surprised that he doesn't also mention the Hashmonaim, because he goes out of his way. He says Rabbeinu Moshe, he always mentions Rabbeinu Moshe, the Rambam, says that, but I disagree with him, and he said the Hashmonaim were dead wrong. And that's why historically what happened to the Hasmonean dynasty. What did they become?
They became slaves.
Every single one of their descendants ultimately became a slave. The kingdom had no survival based on the fact that they had no right to assume the mantle of leadership in the first place. Read the Ramban tonight and you'll see what he says. Let's continue. We're up to where it now says number 68. About 10 lines, 12 lines to the bottom. V'chol eile rimazim. All of these allusions, which I just described, ki'ilu yazkirenu v'feirush inyan galutenu zeh. It's as if, it says it black and white in the text, that what am I referring to in Parshat Kitavo? Galut sheni, the second destruction. V'hagi'ula. Bebrit ha'hi hashenit ge'ula shilema me'ule al kula. The redemption that will take place will be a complete one, an exalted one, something that we have not yet experienced. Omar, the pasuk says, v'haya ki yavo elecha kol hadvarim ha'ele habracha v'apla v'hevtiach v'hitir v'cha v'hir v'cha mi'avotecha. Please open up to Dvarim Perek Lamed. And then I'll explain something else. Dvarim Perek Lamed. Okay? We're going to read a couple of psukim of Lamed, because this is what the Ramban's referring to. Even though it's not in Kitavo, it's in Nitzavim. Zahaya. Ki yavo alecha kol advarim ha'ele, habracha v'haklala, asher natati lefanecha. If all of these things will take place, and the Ramban is not sorry, it did take place, it did happen, what shall now happen? If you will what now? What now? What will you do? You will return. And you will what? Repent and return to God. Etc. And then look at hey, the heavy achol Hashem al aratz yishir Hashem atecha b'rishta, v'hi tivcha, v'hir v'cha mi'avotecha. You will have it better and more plentiful, more success than your grandparents ever experienced. What's happening here? This is the Ge'ula Shlema. What is it dependent on? No fixed time. Bayit Rishon at a fixed time. 70 years because of the 70 Shemitot. The Torah said it. Az Tirtze Ha'aret Shabtotah. Remember, there were 70 Shemitot that they abandoned. Now, there's no fixed time. V'shavta ad Adoshem Elokecha. Ladies and ladies, is this phrase a mitzvah or a havtacha? V'shavta ad Adoshem Elokecha. Is that a mitzvah to do tshuva, or is this a promise? No. You can't go wrong. Because what's the best answer? Tamach loikas. The right answer to every question. Tamach loikas. What? It might be. It might be. Correct. But here we're talking about something in the future. V'shavta, v'shavta means you return in the past. V'shavta means you will in the future. So either it's a tzivu, we do it in the future, or it's a promise of redemption. The Ramban happens to believe that this is not the mitzvah of doing tshuva. The Ramban believes this is ye'ud, yud, ayin, vav, dalet, a promise, testimony, that this is going to happen at the end of time. Where all of Am Yisrael will do tshuva. And where is this concluded? In Parshat Nitzavim. Not in Kitavo. This explains a practice that all of Klal Yisrael has, and nobody against, a black and white Gemara. a black and white Torah. The Gemara tells us in Megillah that we are supposed to read Parshat Bechukotai every year before Shavuot. We are supposed to read Bechukotai every year before Shavuot. And we're supposed to read Ki Tavo before Rosh Hashanah. We do neither. We always read Parshat Bamidbar before Shavuot. And we always read Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah. Without fail. Without fail. We just ignore the Gemara. And as to what connection did we see about Bamidbar with Shavuot is a separate discussion. It's not my focus today. But the connection between Nitzavim and Rosh Hashanah is a perfect one. Because Nitzavim and Ki Tavo are really what? One unit together. Why does the Gemara tell us to read Ki Tavo before Rosh Hashanah? It's a very famous phrase. Tichle Shana Zekilelotecha. Tochel Shana Ubirchotecha. Let the year's curses, Tichle Shana, let the previous year's curses come to an end. Tochel Shana, let the new year begin with what? With its brachot. Well, according to the way the Ramban has set it up, how will we guarantee that the year to come will be endowed with bracha? What do you have to do? You have to do tshuva. Very simple. So there is no more effective, appropriate message to be reading the Shabbat before Rosh Hashanah that v'shavta ad adoshem alokecha. So in effect, we do fulfill the spirit of what the Gemara said to read Ki Tavo before Rosh Hashanah, but it's the end of Ki Tavo, the climax, not just the terrible things that will have happened, but also to read how you change it. There's only one way to change it. V'shavta ad adoshem alokecha. And that's why the Haftarah is Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. That's our Parsha Shuva, which follows the next week. So that's what the Ramban is referring to here. So this very broad messianic idea of redemption is going to be the conclusion of Bayit, of the Galut of Bayit Shein, which we are still awaiting. It might be. It might be. 100%. Even though I once told you that the Rav has a that pasuk refers to Bayit Sheni and not to Bayit Shlishi. But it's a good question. It's a good question. I want to finish up the Ramban now. Please, for one second now, I have to read something else. Please now, turn over the page. Turn over the page. Remember I told you when we introduced this last week that the Gemara points out that the first Tochecha was authored by whom? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the second one was authored by Moshe. Now it's not a shock because Moshe is the author of all of Sefer Dvarim. I reminded you that last week. So it's not a shock. But the Ramban attaches another idea of significance in highlighting the difference. Please look four lines in, and we'll read then till the end. Four lines into the Ramban. V'hine habrit harishona asher b'parsha hazot, because this is written in Bechukotai, the covenant that is described in Bechukotai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu karat ota. It's God who is establishing the terms tenor of this covenant. Kikein hayash shmo hagadol imanu bevayet harishon. Because God's great name was more profoundly noticed during Bayit Rishon. It's one of the paradoxes. While Am Yisrael engaged in idolatry and duly arise to Shmichus Gavim, that's when God decides to be very close to His people. The Habrit Hashenit Shebiparshava Hayat Ki Tavo Mipi Moshe. the author of that which we are going to study, and we are studying, is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Moshe. Ramaz, this alludes to the fact, L'siluk Shechinato Legamre, Shelo Haya Bebayit Sheni, Rakvot Shemo. God is absent. And God is saying something really annoying. It's unbelievable. God is absent in the second Beit HaMikdash. What is there? Kvot Shemo, his name. I have no idea what that means. I can't express it. What was there and what wasn't there? It's hard to imagine what God, you know. But he's trying to say there's a qualitative difference. Shene Amar, Ve'eratze bo ve'ikaveda. Okay, fine. Ukvar dorshu bo midrash acher, gam kein ramaz l'chamisha dvarim shahayu b'bayit sheni chaser. Says the Ramban, I'm going to tell you something. Five things existed in the first Beit HaMikdash, not in the second. Number one, there was no Aron HaKodesh. No Aron. None. When Yoshiyahu saw that the Beit HaMikdash was going to be destroyed, he took the Aron, put it into a cellar, which is built on the Har HaBayit, threw it in, locked it, put a cover on, locked it up, and threw away the keys. That tunnel was built by Shlomo. Because Shlomo, before Martin Luther King, had a dream. Shlomo had a dream. The day he built the Beit HaMikdash, God came to him in a nevuah and showed him the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. The day he built it. He understood that sometimes this building is not going to be permanent, temporary. So he took the precaution to enable us to have the control of the Aron, lest it fall into the hands of the enemy. So he told his son Rechava, who told his son, if you see the destruction of the temple imminent, take the Aron, lock it up in this tunnel, and throw away the keys. That's why I once told Spielberg that he filmed Raiders of the Lost Ark in the wrong location.
Did you get credit?
What?
Did you get a writer's credit?
You know, he disagreed. I said, you filmed in Egypt someplace. If you'd asked me, I told you this Rambam. This isn't what I'm saying. It's a Rambam, not me. It's on the Har HaBayit. Right there, you could have filmed it. Raiders, that's what they're looking for.
Under the mountain.
What?
Under the mountain. Oh, yeah.
What?
Under the they would have let him up
there. Excellent. Yeah, they should have let him into the mountain. Yeah, let's see if they would let him do this, do a film. So the Aron was not there. Two, the Urim V'Tumim. The breastplate that the Kohen Gadol wore with all of the names of the tribes engraved in it was absent. What role did the Urim V'Tumim play? What? You talk to the Urim V'Tumim and the computer screen lights up. Which letters with the right answer? Each melech asked the Urim V'Tumim during Bayit Rishon, should I go to war or not? You go to the Kohen Gadol, you ask the question, and then the correct letters light up, because every letter of the alphabet is on this Urim V'Tumim. So the right, it's like Cain or Lo. Very simple. You ask the Urim V'Tumim when you want to appoint a new melech. Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu agree with this appointment? That method of communication doesn't exist during Bayit Sheni. Does not exist during Bayit Sheni. Because there was no Aron and no Kaporet, on Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol enters the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where is he sprinkling the blood? Or, you know, putting the cloud of smoke? I want. On a stone. What is that stone called? We said on the second day of Hoshanas. Hoshana, Evan Shasiya Hoshana. There is a stone which, according to our tradition, is on top of that tunnel which Shlomo built where the Aron is hidden. So the worship in the second Beit HaMikdash, the Kohen Gadol came in once a year into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he saw an empty room. He saw a rock. That's it. No Aron, no Kruvim, no the picture of the little boy and the girl, nothing. Nothing. Strange ceremony to walk into the Beit HaMikdash and sprinkle it at a rock. All of this, Ramban suggests, is symbolic of a certain removal of God's Shekhinah. In order to further emphasize it, he claims, who authors these words about Bayit Sheni? Moshe Rabbeinu. Not HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Now listen. Listen. During Bayit Sheni, when they are incredibly pious and devoted, yes, they didn't have respect for one another, that is correct, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu distances himself. And when they're engaged in what? Gili Arayis, Shvichus Damim, they don't observe Shemitah, and everything else, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very close. Very close. So, you can have various suggestions. I suggest to you the following. How do we know that it's not there? The Ramban is now saying that based on these physical symbols, that suggests that Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence is to be felt more keenly. The absence of those, he uses the word only kvod shemo. I don't know what that means exactly, but himself, his Shekhinah was not there. That's what the Ramban said. I'm just trying to put some meaning into what he says. And I believe, Rabotai, that this is something which is anti the whole world. Everybody believes that as HaKadosh Baruch Hu has distanced himself from Am Yisrael, it is a yiridah of generation to generation. God is going lower and lower and lower, right? The generations are going lower and lower, and because we are immersed in the 49 levels of Tumah, spiritual impurity, God has to remove himself completely. After Bayit Sheni, there's zero contact with God. No nevuah, nothing. No symbolic presence. I really believe it's just the opposite. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that his people are not yet ready to commit, what is it necessary for him to do? To be very, very close. To engage in miraculous deeds, which you can see, feel, hear, see his presence in a real, concrete way. He has to communicate verbally with the prophet. He has to. And he has to be there in order to constantly make an impact upon the lay community, that they shall observe and be inspired by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The moment HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that his lifestyle has taken root, then it's no longer necessary for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to what? To be as proactive, to be as hands-on. And he expects you to be able to be committed based on one five-letter word.
Okay.
Correct. Emunah. I have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't have to prove it to me any longer. During Bayit Sheni, one thing, besides these five symbols, there was no nivuah during Bayit Sheni. No nivuah. Mm-hmm. Bayit Rishon, nevuah left and right. And it's strange. When everybody's worshipping idols, God's talking to them. And when everybody's putting on Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to hide himself? The answer is, it's no longer necessary for him to come and reveal himself. Why? Because, as I told you last week, every little kid knows all the laws of Tum and Tahara. Everybody's wearing Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin. So I don't have to convince anybody of my presence. And after Bayit, and during Bayit Sheni, symbolized by another distance, according to the Ramban, absence of the Aron, absence of the Urim V'Tumim. So now if you want to ask him, should you go to war or not? You're going to have to make the decision yourself. Have to make the decision yourself. Use your judgment. Use your sense of what you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu might say. But he's not going to spoon feed the answer for you. It's a much greater challenge. But nonetheless, because Am Yisrael has demonstrated its ability to relate to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, therefore, it's just the opposite. Among the rank and file, there's a far greater level of commitment. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow can ease his way and go up to Shmei HaShemayim. And he doesn't have to be down here on earth. And his presence, his acknowledging his presence, will not be affected a ki hu zeh. Not at all. Yes.
That's such a hard time with the pasuk Shasta El Hashem, the Hashibah, the Shubah, because, for the first scholar, there was a quantifiable amount of time because there was a quantifiable sin.
Right.
Something done against Kadosh Baruch Hu 70 times, and that's why it's 70. Here, there's no quantifiable sin.
Correct.
It's endless. Don't you need some guidance when there's endless sin?
No. According to the Ramban, we have that guidance. It's sitting right in front of your nose. The Torah will tell us, and that when all or a majority of Am Yisrael decide to follow the tenets of Torah, God promises that's when I'm coming back. That's when there'll be redemption.
Don't you want to know
your
clothes?
Right.
Okay. No? Okay. That's okay. It would be nice. It would be nice. However, there are those who believe in our generation we've received that signal. Okay. I can't say what other people, but we can say that when we say Reshit Tzmichat Gulatenu, we interpret that's the beginning. That's a beginning. That's a signal from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that things are turning around in Jewish history.
He's always equated to a parent.
I mean,
to put yourself as a parent, you sit there and say,
bye-bye. I hear what you're saying. It's a good point. I'm not saying no.
Give them some sense.
I'm just theorizing as to what is the symbolic message which the Ramban is trying to convince us of.
Why do you think the Ramban wrote this poem
Yes, it's a good question. What triggered the Ramban to deviate from everybody else and claim that the two Tolchechot are designed, one for Bayit Rishon, one for Bayit Sheni? Maybe everybody else is right. That the two Tolchechot are just the theoretical basis. If you'll be good, this will happen. If you'll be bad, this will happen. I don't know. That's a good question.
It has something to do with Amunah, I think, because the punchline is, keep the faith, it's
going to
be good.
Right? I don't know what it was. Maybe there's no doubt that his own personal experience may have had an end, probably did have an end. What exactly was that he's responding to, I'm not quite sure. Okay, we'll stop here, Rabotai. Next to Vach, into text itself. And as I said, the Tokecha itself goes pretty fast because there's not much discrepancy amongst Parshanim as to what it means. Anyone who didn't sign in yet, if you have a chance, if you didn't sign up last week with your information. What? No, I want to have contact information just in case I have to make a change.
Keep them more hopeful. This is so happens right now. What you got to do is...
That's correct. That's no doubt. That's correct. Could be. Yeah, here it is.